we hope you all enjoyed the holidays and your winter break. Today, we're back with an episode about smoking cessation with our fellow P3 student, Amanda Sweat. Amanda is on the Augusta campus and ambassador for smoking cessation through SNAPFA, the Student National Pharmaceutical Association. We're glad to have Amanda with us today to share her experience with being an ambassador and her passion for smoking cessation. Amanda, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a bit and tell us a little bit about why smoking cessation is necessary for a healthy lifestyle.
Well, my name is Amanda Sweat, and at the moment, I'm the only United States Public Health Service RX for Change smoking cessation ambassador at UGA College of Pharmacy, and also involved in SNAPFA. I'm the legislative chair, and I do a lot of stuff with SNAPFA, and then this smoking cessation is also through SNAPFA. Okay, and smoking cessation is so important for everybody, not just people in pharmacy or taking drugs and just as a lifestyle, because smoking interacts with a lot of drugs, so it can affect the drugs that you're taking. It can impact your health. You know, it takes years off your health. It impacts your everyday life. So quitting smoking is just, it's good for everybody. It's good for you. It's good for your health. So that's why it's important.
Thank you, Amanda, for giving us that info. So what is your role as an ambassador, and what are your responsibilities? Can you give us a little bit of an explanation?
Yeah, sure. So the program, it's initiated by the United States Public Health Service, like I said before, and it's in collaboration with pharmacy students through SNAPFA, the Student National Pharmaceutical Association. And the goal is to have at least one SNAPFA member from each university to serve as an ambassador. And it's to increase tobacco users' access to care and decrease tobacco product use. So basically, we have rotations, we work, we see more patients, so we're able to kind of intervene in the early stages or just casually while they're picking up a prescription. So, and there's a couple of requirements when you do become an ambassador. First, you have to complete all the training. And then the second thing is you have to train a local SNAPFA chapter in a smoking cessation training program. And then the last thing is that you have to have at least two events per academic year, and then you have to submit all the appropriate documentation.
So have you been able to apply what you've learned as a smoking cessation ambassador into a real life scenario, like at work or rotations?
Yeah, I definitely have. So the training that I was provided has helped me identify intervention opportunities in the retail pharmacy that I work in. And it's important. So I've also learned from the training that in the retail world, especially, no one ever documents this, but you should document the person's smoking or their social history, especially if they use like regular cigarettes or if it's smokeless tobacco or if it's vape pens. It's important to kind of hit all those aspects. And I've also used the training to perform behavioral interventions to identify a person's stage of quitting. If they like start asking about smoking cessation product or if they're purchasing a smoking cessation product, so that you can figure out the best next step for them. And it will result in less failed attempts at quitting.
So what are some products or medications that you recommend right now? What are some like popular ones?
So there's gum, there's lozenges, there's patches. It's really whatever works best for the patient's lifestyle. And there's also medications, but you have to be careful with interactions and stuff. And that's through a physician. So you could tell them about the medications and then they can go to the physician and tell them they're interested.
So Chantix is something that we see often, Chantix and bupropion. When would one be better than the other?
You mean Chantix or bupropion? Mm-hmm. It depends. You know, I wonder, I guess the bupropion, the only time I know that it's better, I think either option would be good for someone, but bupropion could kind of be like a double whammy. If someone has like depression or some kind of mood disorder, they could use it for the smoking and for the mood disorder. And Chantix is like more popular, I think. So patients kind of lean towards that one.
Okay.
So I know with like us pharmacy school students, when we're learning about smoking cessation, we learn about motivational interviewing and how to talk to patients to encourage them to reduce smoking or quit smoking, right? Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you can give us a little more explanation or more insight as to what motivational interviewing is?
Yeah, sure. So in pharmacy school, we should be like experts by now on motivational interviewing because we learn about it all the time. So it was actually really easy to take these courses because we had already learned all this stuff. But basically, motivational interviewing is it's a type of counseling, and it can be used to help people stop smoking, and it aims to help people explore the reasons that they may feel unsure about quitting, and it'll find ways to make them feel more willing and able to stop smoking. Basically, you know, you get them, you identify any kind of barriers, and kind of when they say those barriers out loud, a light bulb goes off. So you can kind of help them navigate those barriers. But basically, just a regular motivational interview would consist of conversation about change, a lot of collaborative discussions, so like a lot of patient-centered, you know, what do you want to do about it instead of telling them what to do about it. And then like a lot of evocative questions. So like what I said before, it kind of calls forth their like own motivation and their own commitment, and kind of helping them realize those things.
Okay. So how would you deal with someone who is reluctant to quit or talk about quitting?
Yeah. So a lot of motivational interviewing for sure to try to get out all those barriers and figure out, you know, why the person smokes, why they can't stop smoking. So another thing that I don't know if I'm sure you guys have heard of this, the ORS method. It's like OARS. So you ask a lot of open-ended questions, a lot of affirmations and support and encourage the patient. Reflective listening, so like repeating back to them so that they know that you're listening, because maybe someone, you know, has never actually listened to them and you're finally someone who wants to listen to their problems and, you know, their issues. And then the last thing you do is you summarize their reasons for change and their confidence and their ability to change and their values and goals and their motivation. So the next thing that I think has been helpful with my own practice is creating a pros and cons list. So it's better if they see it, you know, on paper. They can see the pros, they can see the cons. A lot of pros are my family will be healthy, I'll be healthy. And that means a lot to people. So it can really be that like determining factor to make someone want to quit. Another thing is you can tell them about the nicotine replacement therapies, like we talked about before with the gum and the lozenges and the medication, and it can make quitting seem a lot less intimidating. And the last thing that's important to me is to listen for any kind of barriers. When you're interviewing a patient, sometimes those barriers, you know, they don't even know that they're there. So that's like the main reason that people can't quit. So I try to listen for any kind of barriers and bring them up and you know, let them know that they're there.
And that's amazing to hear. But have you dealt with someone who is reluctant? I'm just curious to know what your experience was like. We don't get to see that in pharmacy school, you know, we just practice with other students. So I'm curious to know if you've dealt with someone.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting. When I had the training last year, you know, we had groups of two everywhere, and some patients were like, okay, I'm going to quit. The fake patient. Okay, I'm going to quit. And you're like, oh, great. My motivational interviewing was perfect and it worked. But some patients were more difficult. They were like, no, I don't want to quit because this and that. So yeah, I have seen in the real world, I would say most patients are reluctant, and those patients aren't going to be the ones that come up to you and ask about smoking cessation. So it's kind of hard to pick them out. But so it's helpful, you know, if someone kind of smells like cigarettes, or you can tell that they smoke, or it's in their social history, kind of bring up the subject just a little bit. But, you know, you don't want to bring it in too strong and make them, you know, kind of turn away. But yeah, it's difficult in the real world for sure. And I have seen a lot of patients who are reluctant, and, you know, I'll just be like, hey, you have like 5 minutes, you know, to talk about some lifestyle changes or your lifestyle. You want to talk about your lifestyle. And, you know, when they bring up the smoking, then you can kind of ease into it.
Yeah, you do a great job. I can't imagine myself being like, hey, you want to talk about your lifestyle? Yes. It's just like,
very uncomfortable. Yeah. I think that's the first step for learning smoking cessation training, is don't be scared and don't be intimidated. What's the worst they could say? No, you know?
I admire your confidence, like, yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
You have to keep pushing on. And
yes, exactly. And one day they'll realize it. It's going to be so good. Life will be so good.
Yeah. So I know one of the methods that you motivate them to quit is by telling them how much money that they would save in a year. Mm-hmm. How much money is it that an average smoker would save?
You know, I have no idea, but I could estimate, you know, maybe about a pack a day. That's really, I feel like that's on the lower end. So a pack's about $5, maybe a little more. So they would save about $1,825 a year if they didn't buy a pack of cigarettes every day.
Oh, wow. A lot of money.
I know, it's a lot of money. And I, you know, you can add years to your life once you quit, just in the first like month or year. Breathing gets better, your health gets better. I think it's worth more than the money.
Mm-hmm. So what events have you planned or done so far as a student ambassador, and what have you planned for this upcoming semester?
Yeah, so last year I had two fellow ambassadors with me, Diane and Diana. We actually did a research project on smoking cessation that we're working on getting published right now. But we had the training, which was required. I wanted to have more, but it's a lot of work already. But we had the training and there was a ton of people there. A ton of people showed up. It was great. And then we had a big letter writing campaign for the Tobacco 21, where it was raising the legal age to buy tobacco to 21, which got passed. And then, you know, we did some little things here and there. A lot of the smoking cessation stuff is done with the Power to End Stroke Initiative. So we did some stuff with Person last year, and then we did like a Shot at Life thing where we all kind of contacted our legislators for some other little side gigs. But I would like to have another training session this semester or this coming semester. It's also for UGA students. They can get the certificate, and it's good for the co-curricular thing that we have to do through the school. Yeah, so we'll probably do that, and then I don't know. I got to look around and see what else there is going on out there in the world. I'm sure we could do something maybe with COVID, you know, and smoking and comorbidities and stuff. So I got to look around once the semester starts.
Well, Amanda, you are looking at the Power to End Stroke.
Yes,
right,
I know.
Here,
so I'll be calling
you.
We
got to plan something, you know.
I know. We already gotta before school starts. We're running out of time.
We already missed out on the National Smokeout Day. So I did one with Dr. Fagan.
Yeah, that was good.
But we definitely should plan something, though, you know. Consider me. I'm already applying for an event, just to let you know.
Oh, perfect.
So on that note, how can other students get involved in smoking cessation program?
Well, you can email me, or you can, there's no like website really. It's kind of hard to find, but it's on the USPHS website. But basically you can just Google, it's RX for Change, RXFC, Smoking Cessation Ambassador. And you'll find a whole website. It's got more information. It's got a brochure on there. It's got all the training modules. You can even get started if you want to. You can only have 4, I think, at every school. So there are 3 open spots currently and 4 that I know of next year. And it's the training is good for 2 years. You're a smoking cessation ambassador for 2 years. So yeah, you can talk to me. I know we did a couple events with Miss Brooks. She would know some stuff, and she does her own smoking cessation stuff. But yeah, are you guys going to provide my email, or can I provide it, or?
Yeah, I was just about to say if you could say your email.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so it's AS, like Amanda Sweat, 68227@uga.edu. So feel free to contact me with any questions. If you have a grandma who needs to stop smoking, please contact me. I'll give her a call.
So right now, because of the pandemic, are you shifting more towards like virtual cessation?
For sure. Yeah. So I have a contact at the FDA, and she is super busy, you know, with all the COVID stuff going on. So I need to get in contact with her and figure out how we're going to do a lot of virtual stuff. But all the training is virtual, so it's really easy. And then I'm sure we can figure out some kind of virtual smoking cessation training this upcoming semester.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new world. I think everybody like gets a dollar when you say that because everybody says it so much.
Well, I think that's about it.
I really appreciate what you do, and you're amazing.
Aw, so are you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Amanda. We appreciate you taking out time to speak to us today. It's great to see your passion as a student for a cause like this. We hope you all enjoyed and learned something from this month's episode. Join us again next month for another episode. As always, we want to thank you, our listeners, for your support throughout our journey. Last but not least, don't forget to stay active on our social media at UGA Farmcast 19 and let us know if you have any comments, questions, ideas, or feedback. We hope everyone's safe and well in the middle of this pandemic.
Stay awesome, stay healthy, and go Dogs!